Chapter 1, The All-One Era. Prior to December 21st, 2012, we lived in an aggressive era based on the interpretations of the Bible that man is here to dominate the earth, when in fact we are here to be one with the earth. This period, however, leading up to the All-One Era, has been a triumph for humanity in many ways. We made huge strides in relieving our burdens of physical work with vast technological and industrial advances. However, sadly, it has been an era of extreme masculine domination, and this momentum follows us. In such a very short time, we have created and continue to create the monster of the heartless corporate machine, with the bottom line as its sole purpose, and we have given away our power to government leaders with these antiquated mandates. The 8 billion of us now not only have in place a way of living that far exceeds our planet's ability to recover, but we also have in our keeping the nuclear means of annihilating all life. We have been driven by our constant drive to build a, quote, better lifestyle for humanity, a noble and grand intention. But now, in this new era, we clearly see that the price for all this technology, combined with our own warfare sophistication, puts us on the precipice of unprecedented utter destruction. Left to escalate in the hands of this corporate machine and those in power, it is only a matter of how long this will take. For a glimpse of how changes such as the introduction of the automobile and the cell phone affect all on the planet so dramatically, take the time to see this short but provocative video from author and entrepreneur Tony Saba. You go to alloneera.com/disruption, and it shows a photograph of Fifth Avenue, New York City, at the Easter Parade in 1900. And there's one single car fighting for room among multitudes of horses and carriages. The second photo shows New York's Fifth Avenue 13 years later, and only a single horse can be spotted. A disruption happens when a new product or service helps create a new market and significantly weakens, transforms, or destroys an existing market, category, and industry. That's a quote from Tony Saba. The official beginning of the All-One Era, the ancient chart carved into a rock wall by the Hopi elders, shows a crossroads that happens exactly at the time of the winter solstice, December 21st, 2012, which is the exact date that the ancient Mayan lunar calendar ends. Interestingly, this date was prophesied centuries ago by many individuals and groups of people as being the beginning of a new era. It is the time when the elders of the Mayan, Hopi, and many indigenous civilizations predicted there to be a choice for us to make. The choice is simple yet profound. Are we to continue the line on the rock upwards with our greedy, selfish, material, and aggressive quests, or are we now to return to our original grandness of intention and come back to our original co-creator glory? Humanity either continues on its egotistical ways or comes back together in a return to our original grand purpose. And then it shows the actual prophecy rock, petroglyphs. And I urge you to see these. And you can Google that too, just prophecy rock, I think, would take us there. And this next page is about reflections, which is about me personally. And I'm so happy to welcome you all to these reflections. They were great changes in my life and led me on, you know, paths that I feel very privileged and honored to have taken. I take them in service. I have a slogan that I write out. I am here on my father's business. I'm here on my mother's business. I'm a servant as we all are servants. Okay, sorry to digress. Reflections. While living in the countryside of Bedford, New York in 1982, I had a very clear vision of us all being one. At that time, there had been a Cold War brewing viciously between Russia and the United States, as well as extreme unrest in most of the world. Many felt us being on the brink of World War III. Fueled by a request to help bring humanity to its senses, I dove deeper into some of the studies of the Old Testament of the Bible and found the first of the Ten Commandments, Exodus 20. So Moses went down into the people, as they were in the desert after leaving their slavery in Egypt, and told them. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I deeply pondered that commandment at my bar mitzvah in 1957. I questioned the idea of sharing the glory of being one with all there is with a God who was outside of myself. I was too young then, but in 1982, I had an aha moment. What if Moses' words literally were meant to instill that indeed I am the Lord your God? You will have no other gods before me, which is any person as one with all there is. This bringing back of our power as divine entities with no separation gave me hope for humanity that we will all soon behold our immortality. Later on, see chapter 3, we talk about Moses' plight, where he knew after being brought up in the Pharaoh's palace, where all were elongated head people, see chapter 3, who knew they were one with spirit. And I have an asterisk here, chapter 3, as Moses' plight, yes. Moses was a conduit of spirit and had the task of bringing this message to his people. The energy rose within me so greatly that I sat in silent meditation all day and night and proclaimed to myself that from the Lord God of my being unto the Lord God of all beings on earth, we are one. We are God. We shall have no other gods before us. If you ask people, what are the first words in the Bible? Common response is, quote, in the beginning. However, there is one word before that, which is the word Genesis. For an in-depth study, please go to https://www.youtube.com/watch?mark small v=large n small n small w small m small i capital t number 4 capital v small s small d capital m. It is interesting to note that the word Genesis could be broken down into two words, Gen and Isis. Thinking in these terms, consider the implication of the fact that further on in the first passages of the book of Genesis, the phrase, quote, let us create man in our image, then appears. The expectation would be that the phrase, quote, I will create man in my image, would be how it is written, but it is not. This is present in all copies of monotheistic Bibles I have seen. Monotheistic being any religion or segment of a religion that follows one God, such as Catholicism, Judaism, Islam, Pentecostal, Anglican, Lutheran, Orthodox, and others. Since that time, about 60 years ago, it has become obvious to me, with so many catastrophic earth changes and the disappearance of the condors, thinning of the ozone layer, and with so many thousands of species of animals and plants and whole cultures becoming extinct, we can no longer afford to throw our hands in the air, giving away our holy precious power. Our intentions are all powerful. We have the collective essence to merge with and guide nature. From ancient times, perhaps since the beginning of creation, we have carried both the burdens of enormous disappointment and the joy of the grandest of triumphs, with life itself being the most triumphant. Surely we can now rise to the occasion, as my dad would say, and bring ourselves into harmony with nature and all there is. And I have to interject here and say sadly that there's an article in the New York Times magazine that reveals that 90% of the insects on our planet are already gone. This is very serious. This is our, you know, this is the food chain. The insects are very, very urgently important. They pollinate our plants and bring us food. It's very important that we all stop buying chemically produced foods and beverages which have insecticides. Let's all buy and grow organic, drink organic wine and juice, and eat only organic fruit. My gosh. Okay. I'm going to go back to this. And also, as we say here in the book, our collective essence to merge with and guide nature. This is very powerful. We are so powerful. We can do this. Okay, the blueprint for the All-One era is revealed continuously. During one occasion, my dog Wolf Girl and I had hiked to the top of the mountain and looked down upon the 84-mile-long Okanagan Lake. As we stood there beholding this magnificent view in this wondrous valley, it became clear to me that as astounding as the experience of being in a body is, the essence of who we are is not in the beauty or magnificence of the place where we live, including the planet, the universe, and the stars. The real beauty is within our forever souls, our hearts, and eternal selves. We are in this world, but not of this world. in moments and locales where the world around us showcases deterioration spurred by industrialization and pollution, we know that the strength to reinvigorate the planet lies within us. We know that when in our power, we can no longer tolerate further human-made destruction. Our power is much stronger and farther reaching than we have ever taken credit for. It is this grand awakening that exonerates us from the present catastrophic ignorance and apathy leading us into this path toward oblivion. The living prophecy of the All One Era is to simply know in our heart of hearts that we are God, one with all there is, the original creators of the universe, all-knowing and all-one. To come into ourselves, capital S selves, is to know our real power and the loving energy that can change the climate, our entire world, and everything about us. This knowingness is undeniable, because this is who we are. There is no separation between us and the creation of matter, which is materialization of slower vibrations of energy. Energy is love, the cosmic glue of the universe, love of our own grandness and all there is, better known as holy love, a merger with the ever-present loving universal consciousness. While the name of God is holy, and all names for God are holy, so holy, in fact, that in Hebrew, the name is unspeakable and is written as G-D, we have come to an awakening that indeed God and all that this holy name carries is as dust without us, just as we are dust without the realization of our oneness with God. And I have that in bold writing in my hands. I'd like to just repeat that one because that, to me, really personifies everything. God and all that this holy name carries is as dust without us, just as we are dust without the realization of our oneness with God. The essence of this prophecy of prophecies lies deep in our soul memories. In the Hebrew Bible, this is the response God gave when Moses asked him his name, Exodus 3.14. And God said unto Moses, I am he who is. The All One Era is our prophesied homecoming, our deserved release of all fear-based chaos, aggression, misery, and guilt. We are all one as divine eternal beings, in bodies, on our splendid creation, with our precious animals, plants, earth, water, air, sun, moon, and stars, one ever-expanding, alive, flourishing, love-based, multidimensional consciousness that encompasses all that is, all that has been, and all there shall ever be. By our thrill and glory of merging with all dimensions and consciousness, and by choosing alive nutrition and an alive lifestyle to strengthen the silver cord between us as spirits and bodies, and simultaneously as spirits in eternal loving universal consciousness, the center of all of life and all of consciousness, we refresh our soul memory of who we are. We behold our immortality. We are all one forever beings. And there is a footnote. See earlier quote from Paramahansa Yogananda. He was a wonderful guru who came to the Americas from India and merged Christianity with the Hindu and made a beautiful impact of beholding our immortality. Okay. Nature and the environment have always impassioned me. My instinct has always been to be one with the earth, touching it with my bare hands and feet. As a child, my time was spent playing in the dirt and climbing trees. Throughout my life, I was blessed with splendid collaborations with nature and many firsts. One of the first vivid life-changing experiences was when I read the book Bridie Murphy in the sixth grade. Bridie was an American housewife who had been hypnotized and brought back to her earliest childhood and then further regressed into her past life, which had taken place in the 1700s in Ireland. She began speaking in her original Irish brogue, describing all the personal and factual things she experienced while in her life in Ireland. The book details how many of these actual places and things were later verified. This opened my soul memory to my personal past lives and the realization that we are eternal beings. Today, the book Many Lives, Many Masters by Brian Weiss, M.D., tells the true story of a prominent psychiatrist, his young patient, and the past life therapy that changed both of their lives. Being all one forever beings and being individuals in bodies is a brilliant and thrilling combination, filling our lives with grand purpose on a magnificent plane. having always known and embraced my purpose to be a microcosm of the macrocosm and the grandest vision of Stephen Sipes that I could ever be, I have consciously encouraged myself to proactively be God in a body in this my life. My plans to build have always been endless, and a boundless flow of ideas which I then, with guidance and a sharing of my visions, manifest. As a land broker and developer in the Westchester suburbs of New York City in the early 1960s, I spearheaded cluster zoning to protect wetlands and steep slopes at a time when there were hardly any environmental protection laws. I was also crusading for the well-being of our planet as one of the founders of the environmental movement. My fellow long-haired hippies and I vehemently protested the burning of number 6 fuel and coal for heating in my highly polluted native New York City. Simultaneously, we actually developed one of the first models of recycling and spread the wisdoms of reusage. In spite of our encouraging progress, the gallant recycling efforts, and great strides we made in cleaning our air, the state of our Earth continued to deteriorate at alarming rates in the 5 decades that followed. And sadly, toxic level pollution is now penetrated and permeated all of the planet and all living creatures, including us. Astonishingly, there is evidence of toxins even in newborn babies. As the founder of Summerhill Pyramid Organic Winery in British Columbia, we built a model of man and nature, and I am realizing my vision of being a conduit for heart-centered business. Business success is a platform from which we can be heard and hear on many levels. It enables us to live out Master Jesus' grand teaching, the greatest gift is to give of oneself. I live with genuine daily excitement and give to the world in great part by using business as a platform to share spiritual awareness. If I were to define entrepreneurship, I would say, quote, an entrepreneur is one who surrounds themselves with the knowingness to manifest their vision on the physical plane. For example, building and operating the most visited winery in Canada as an organic winery and bistro and as a model of harmony with nature and of giving back to nature is a thrill and an honor. The opportunity to co-create with nature and actually demonstrate being a microcosm of the macrocosm from moment to moment delivers a highly satisfying sense of accomplishment and of furthest reaching universal significance. More importantly, it is a model of how each of us is a co-creator, bringing abundance and joy to life, joie de vivre. From very early on in life, I knew my sole purpose. Something bigger cried out from within me, asking me to go forth and bring others together with me, so that we may expand together and be of full assistance in the realization of each other's highest aspirations. There was and is an undeniable tie between acknowledging joyous divinity in others and respecting and nourishing others on our planet. Perhaps it was my childhood environment of constant tension between my parents and their ultimate bloody fight, which was the antithesis of peace, that set me completely alone in this world in 1957 at age 13. I always knew that there is no such thing as being completely alone. Having that solace, along with creating a solid platform as an entrepreneur, I'm honored to say that I've fully allowed myself to be guided. I've been an instrument, as we can all be instruments, in how things in this world are. I have been and continue to demonstrate being a conduit for love, peace, respect, and profound conscious awakening. Most importantly, I've acknowledged my purpose as a conduit of spirit and have a burning desire to show humanity their divinity. Consciously or unconsciously, we are all aligned with our purpose, one we decided upon well before choosing to be born or reborn. The earlier we gain clarity of our purpose, the better, so we may nurture it and watch it unfold before us. I have learned that we should follow the energy and not the issue. Among the many revelations being brought forth in this new era is the alignment with our original splendid purpose, individually and collectively. We are finding that our real soul purpose has little or nothing to do with our business, religious, political, ethnic backgrounds, or pursuits. Our grandness purpose is our contribution to the whole. It is the foundation upon which our own personal involvement takes place. Sometimes it takes a lifetime to know our original purpose, and sometimes we are blessed to find it out at an early age. In my life, I've always felt a constant calling. Now here, we go into a transliteration of a recording of a session between myself and Oracle Judith K. Moore and Dr. Sean Sands, medical doctor, on July 19th, 2014, which greatly strengthened my confidence. To learn more about Judith K. Moore's work as an oracle and as the author of Crop Circles Revealed, we will go into her amazing talents later on.
Today is the 17th of July, 2014. This is Judith, and I'm meditating before the meeting with Stephen Sipes and Sean. And as I meditated, I heard Moses, the Enochian Libraries of Light, the Ark of the Covenant. And then I heard, when the Ark of the Covenant was brought to earth, so too were the archives of the Ark of the Covenant, the Archives of Light. And then contained within those archives were the books of prophecy. And a covenant was placed upon the earth that moved mystical powers and created energy systems that could only be fulfilled through the connection of the power of prophecy, the living light of each age, and the divination of the living word. The books of prophecy foretold of the prophets of light and the coming of the messages that would remain immortal in human consciousness and worthy connection to the powers of earthly and heavenly forces. Within the archives of the Ark of the Covenant were also the Enochian texts, which are the books of the 12 houses of Enoch that catalyzed the forces of prophecy for the fulfillment of the law of one. Moses fulfilled the prophecy of liberation. The sojourn in the wilderness represents the time when humans became lost. And just as the 40 days in the desert from Jesus, 40 years of Moses, was an alchemy, a time through which humans were stripped of the ability to embrace the divine and to call the manna to the earth and to find the sources of abundance and prosperity and to live as free human beings. But the prophecy was not to be fulfilled then. It was initiated. And now the book of the law of one opens, and it is a powerful book within the force of the Ark of the Covenant. It is a book of fulfillment, a book of completion, a book that brings all prophecies into one prophecy, that the force and the power of these prophecies may be shared from the source of divine, the divination of the Holy Word. The interpretation of those prophecies is not as essential as the force and the power behind the prophecy. For the words of man shall vanish as dust on the earth, but the power of prophecy shall endure all times and all ages. Once humans are liberated, they must learn to live by the Book of One, by the law of universal oneness, which brings peace to the earth. The Book of the Law of One is the 12th Enochian Gospel. There's a covenant, and it is the covenant of the Ark. It is a brotherhood, a brethren of the Ark of the Covenant. And those who have touched the Ark of the Covenant in any lifetime are part of this brethren. Brethren defined as feminine and masculine, androgynous. Stephen has touched the Ark of the Covenant. He has been touched by the power of prophecy. He carries the staff of Moses and was initiated in the Mosaic order of the Great White Brotherhood. Moses now calls the staffs of power, for they are the instruments of light that were used when the initiates touched the Ark of the Covenant, because it is not of your hands that you can touch the Ark of the Covenant. You can touch the Ark of the Covenant only through the anointment only through the power of the divine force and only by an instrument of the sacred order, such as the staff of Moses. Stephen must now touch the ark once again, and the light will flow through the staff of Moses and fill him with a godly presence. And that which brings light to the earth shall bring justice, redemption, liberation, and peace. He must fulfill the covenant, for he shall be compelled to do so. Stephen, the transmission said that you have been initiated in the Mosaic Brethren of the Ark of the Covenant, and that as a keeper of the staff of Moses, it is through the staff of Moses that one can touch the Ark of the Covenant.
Yes.
And then it said that the light will flow through the staff of Moses into you to illuminate God's holy presence.
Great.
And it's of the fulfillment of prophecies and the Enochian Gospels. And it said that the book of the law of one is the 12th Enochian Gospel. So I will be able to transfer this to you when we finish today. But it's just the basic information, and I'm recording now. It said that the fulfillment of prophecy is not about the translation of prophecy. It is about the power of prophecy. And that when the Ark of the Covenant came to the earth, there were archives of the Ark of the Covenant. And they brought a force, a God force, to connect to the consciousness of humanity. The archives, once opened in the Ark of the Covenant, moved a force for humanity that had to fulfill the covenant by fulfilling the prophecies of light. That now, at this time of all times, all prophecies must become one prophecy. And it is the prophecy of the law of one. And seek not the interpretations of prophets or prophecy, but to know that each of them had to fulfill the covenant that was brought by the ark and spelled out for humanity in the archives of light, the archives of the Ark of the Covenant. You have a line, Stephen, that goes back to the bloodline of the prophets.
I feel it very, very strongly, Judith. It motivated me all my life.
And you are one of the covenant. And that means that your destiny is to fulfill the prophecies of light, because they said that when all prophecies become one prophecy in the energy, in the force of the God source on earth, that then the book of the law of one shall be opened. And the opening of the book of the law of one fulfills the prophecy of the movement of liberation, and the force of Moses is force of liberation. Humanity escaped enslavement, but wandered alone in the desert, lost and disconnected from the manna.
Yes.
And then found the source, was brought to the heavenly source. And that is the movement. It's from bondage to liberation, to being lost souls, to the opening of the book of the law of one opens the gateways to the heavenly and earthly kingdoms that bring the children home. And you have much to do with this, because when the light of the Ark of the Covenant flows through the staff of Moses and fills you with power of the God source, it opens the light of the Book of One, the Law of One, that all children of God, which are all children of all humanity, will live then by the power of the Law of One in the covenant of light that fulfills the prophecy of Revelations.
Yes.
Very few people know you Very few people are allowed to see you, and you do not always see yourself. There is an image behind an image. There's a power behind anything that is of the earthly realm that is the power of prophecy embodied through your bloodline. Because you have stood on destiny lines and appeared in human form to be a witness of prophecy along a timeline that was put in motion, forces of creation manifest through the power of the living ark. And thus, as one of the brethren of the Ark of the Covenant, you were one of the masters of light who received the Ark when it descended from the heavenly realm. And it was visible to you then. You have traveled with it. You have traveled with the Ark.
Yes.
Oh.
We're at home.
Oh, a lot of energy is coming in, Stephen. Humanity has been lost to itself and the divine nature of the God source. The power of the revelations of the 12th book of Enoch opens the covenant of light, which forms the power that moves the destiny of human history. You are to feel now the power that moves the destiny of human history.
Yes.
It cannot be in the hands of magistrates or God kings. It must be in the hearts of those who serve selflessly and have walked through time as you have witnessed the prophecies. Have heard the words of the prophets, and have carried the staff of the Mosaic Order. This promise of liberation is beyond comprehension.
Yes.
It is the power of light that seals all realms of darkness.
Yes.
And brings forth into the sight, of humanity, that which illuminates divine oneness. And you will continue to follow this path of prophecy, the path of divination of the holy source of God's presence through the prophets and through the covenant. You will be compelled to continue to follow it, for it is the compelling force of your soul. And you know this until at last you reach the doorway of light of the 13th temple. For there are 12 temples in the house of light, in the house of light of your house of Moses. There are 12 temples in the house of Moses. There are 12 temples. You have built a temple there. It is the 12th temple. It opens the way to the doorway of light to the 13th temple. Your lives has been a sacred journey of the Kabbalistic formulas, for you have walked a pattern with your lives, with the Kabbalistic masters.
Yes.
That reveals the power of one.
Yes.
And no earthly force can resist this covenant of light. There are those who speak of secret societies, and this is minor compared to the power of this mystical order of light that is unseen. And it is only connected through superconsciousness, through the power of the Omniforce.
Yes.
It is moved by the great mysteries. It is moved by the force of the source of creation.
Yes.
And this speaks of the covenant of humanity, the purpose for human existence, The fulfillment of the prophecy of one is ascension.
Yes. That's what I write about.
Holy cow. This spoken affirms the truth of your existence, Stephen.
Thank you. Thank you, Judith.
And this brother and sister witness you now, and then set aside any thought forms that may find its way into a mirror that would reflect this in any way besides holiest of holy. As it has been spoken, few know who you are. Very few know who you are.
I do, and I want all of us to know who we are.
And for you to know who you are and be witnessed by Sean and I, who you trust, is important, because there's decisions that you must make. And they, in the altered dimensions, in the power of manifest creation, this force that you must feel when the staff of Moses touches the Ark of the Covenant, and it is a prophecy, it is a time that's coming for you. It is an experience that you will feel in your body, but beyond that, it is an illumination of your God self.
Yeah.
And then a force will affect human destiny, not by your action, but by the actions of the powers that be.
Yeah.
For the prophecy of the Law of One makes way for those forces to move the destinies of humanity, the destiny of mankind, into alignment with the perfect purpose of the Eva Adam Kadam, the blueprint for human existence.
Indeed, Sophia.
Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sebeyo, Yodhe, Vodhe, Yahweh.
Oh, Kadosh, 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 Adonai, Sebeyo, Kohor, Eskimoto.
Okay.
Thank you, Jeff.
I'm so honored and blessed.
The next page shows a photograph of myself standing with the keeper of the Ark of the Covenant in Aksum, Ethiopia on September 1st, 2018. And you can view the dialogue of this momental moment with the One Step Maxigram app. Rising to the occasion. To quote UCLA professor Dr. Valerie Hunt, the definition of consciousness is our ability to relate to the entire universe, the field. Ironically, the field is the title to Lynn McTaggart's book, which scientifically reveals the recordable influence of our intentions, even from very long distances. I have some footnotes here about Dr. Valerie Hunt. See allonera.com/bioenergy. To see the human aura captured on video. It is the most amazing thing that she has done, using a computer technology that shows our aura right on the screen. Just magnificent. I want to read on. These scientific scholars and many other writers and scientists are now proving that we are open to, quote, the field. We welcome our receiving selves, our God selves, in our electrical in nature bodies, and our all-knowing souls. We are comprised of billions of atoms, each with protons revolving around a neutron, just like our solar system and universe. We are natural receivers of the electrical charge that manifests as the ever-present loving universal consciousness that we bathe in. Such a connection at this critical time is a great blessing, as it allows us to tune into the universal truths, both within ourselves and with our alive and communicative Earth, which is our precious platform that allows us to evolve in bodies. This is how we come into our own as genius-level ascended beings. The works of Dr. Valerie Hunt and Lynn McTaggart have a parallel in the grand teachings of the ancient Bhagavad Gita, which predates the Hebrew calendar, which is now 6,000 years old, and the Christian calendar, which is now just over 2,000 years old. Please read the following excerpts to feel the grand calling. 11. A constant yearning to know the inner spirit and a vision of truth, which gives a liberation. This is true wisdom leading to vision. All against this is ignorance. 12. Now I shall tell thee of the end of wisdom. When a man knows this, he goes beyond death. It is Brahman, beginninglessness, supreme, beyond what is and beyond what is not. 13. His hands and feet are everywhere. He has heads and mouths everywhere. He sees all. He hears all. He is in all, and he is. 14. The light of consciousness comes to him through infinite powers of perception, and yet he is above all these powers. He is beyond all, and yet he supports all. He is beyond the world of matter, and yet he has joy in this world. 15. He is invisible. He cannot be seen. He is far and he is near. He moves and he moves not. He is within all and he is outside all. 16. He is one in all. But it seems as if he were many. He supports all beings. From him comes destruction, and from him comes creation. 17. He is the light of all lights, which shines beyond all darkness. It is vision, the end of vision, to be reached by vision, dwelling in the heart of all. 18. I have told thee briefly what is the field, what is wisdom, and what is the end of man's vision. When a man knows this, he enters into my being. 19. Know the prakriti, nature, and purusha, spirit, are both without beginning, and that temporal changes and gunas, conditions, come all from nature. 20. Nature is the source of all material things, the maker, the means of making, and the thing made. Spirit is the source of all consciousness, which feeds pleasure and feeds pain. 21. The spirit of man, when in nature, feels the ever-changing conditions of nature. When he binds himself to things ever-changing, a good or evil fate whirls him round through life in death. 22. But the spirit supreme in man is beyond fate. He watches, gives blessings, bears all, feels all. He is called the Lord Supreme and the Supreme Soul. 23. He who knows in truth this spirit and knows nature with its changing conditions, wherever this man may be, is no more world round by fate. 24. Some, by the yoga of meditation and by the grace of the spirit, see the spirit in themselves, some by the yoga of the vision of truth, and others by the yoga of work. 25. And yet there are others who do not know, but they hear from others and admire and adore. They also cross beyond death because of their devotion to words of truth. 26. Whatever is born, Arwana, whether it moves or it moves not, know that it comes from the union of the field and of the knower of the field. 27. He who sees that the Lord of all is ever the same in all that is, immortal in the field of mortality, he sees the truth. 28. And when a man sees that the God in himself is the same God in all that is, he hurts not himself by hurting others, then he goes indeed to the highest path. 29. He who sees that all work everywhere is only the work of nature, and that the spirit watches this work, he sees the truth. 30. When a man sees that the infinity of various beings is abiding in the one, and is an evolution from the one, then he becomes one with Brahman. 31. Beginningless and free from changing conditions. Imperishable is the Spirit Supreme. Though he is in the body, not his is the work of the body, and he is pure from the imperfection of all work. 32. Just as the omnipresent ether is pure because intangible, so the Spirit dwelling in matter is pure from the touch of matter. 33. And even as one man gives light to all things in this world, so the Lord of the field gives light to all his field. 34, and last one. Those who with the eye of inner vision see the distinction between the field and the knower of the field, and see the liberation of spirit from matter, they go into the Supreme. It is we who can bring in the great change of winds. It is we who bring in the great winds of change, clear the polluted air, and initiate the incredible cleansing of our earth. It is we who are now scientifically proving that our intentions affect nature and each other in a profound way. Dr. Masuo Emoto has astounded the world with his extensive lab tests using electron microscopes to show the molecular structure of frozen water crystals before and after caressing the water with intentions of love and gratitude versus yelling obscenities. Lynn McTaggart has also proven the effects of intentions with her life work, and there are links to many others who have achieved scientifically proven results, including our own pyramid documentations, which we will expound upon later. I have an asterisk, seeallonera.com/intention for further information on the work of Dr. Masuo Emoto and the work of Lynn McTaggart, along with our pyramid documentations. These are fascinating studies, and I really urge you to try to go to that website, allonera.com/intention. Very revealing how powerful we are. As we become aware of the presence of the LUC, or the field, in this era of the glory of receiving, we are beginning to realize that indeed we are unlimited in our potential. There is no separation. We are all one. We are now returning to our original splendid intention to be the realized beings, the masters that we are. As we unite in gatherings and in the process of a worldwide crescendo of purpose, we begin to create an ever-unfolding and expanding individual and collective orchestration of vast, yet gentle, loving, continuous flow in the now. Simply put, we are opening ourselves by opening to receiving the constant flow of loving energy that expands our consciousness, leading us to naturally becoming one with our planet, nature, and all entities as conduits or vessels of Holy Spirit. Let's have a look at some of the other wondrous discoveries that are popping up all over. The book by Paul Hawken, Blessed Unrest, describes our present huge momentum to help and heal by millions of people and corporations engaging in countless ways to help each other and the planet. The book, Initiation, by Elizabeth H., takes us back in great detail to the ways of the pharaohs in an age of knowing. The book, The Dream of the Cosmos, A Quest for the Soul, by Anne Baring, explores our cultural roots leading to our crisis and gives us a gripping scholarly lifetime study of the growth of human consciousness. She graciously gave me an official comment on this manuscript. Stephen is a kindred soul who is speaking out about the astonishing revelation that we are part of what we have been worshiping for so many thousands of years as someone or something separate from ourselves. Thank you for that, Anne. At all given times in history, there are individuals who are gifted with having natural receiving guidance directly from spirit, such as medical intuitive Anthony William, Edgar Cayce, and many others. All One Era is establishing a list of other individuals and invites your suggestions at allonera.com/suggestions.com. The celebrated author Greg Braden, and the footnote says, learn about research that has been done on the origin and nature of the Hebrew alphabet and the mathematical structure underlying the sequence of letters of the Hebrew alphabet text of Genesis at allonera.com slash First Light. So the celebrated author Greg Braden, during his extensive 12-year study of the most sacred and honored traditions of humankind, has discovered tangible and unprecedented evidence that we are all part of a greater existence. In his book, The God Code, The Secret of Our Past, The Promise of Our Future, Greg says a coded message has been found within the molecules of life, deep within the DNA in each cell of our bodies. He proposes that our past is about to change through a remarkable discovery linking the biblical Hebrew alphabet to our genetic code. Could it be Moses and Jesus, living messages emerging? For me, it is the sound or the vibration of the letters and the words that touch our souls. There are meanings beyond our three-dimensional scope of understanding that these vibrations unleash, and as we open in our feminine receivership, they lift us into unlimited dimensions and clarity. The All-One Era is our long-awaited breakthrough. Here we are opening to receive the ever-present flow of guidance. As we fulfill this glorious prophecy with a worldwide establishment of connecting gently with each other's bands of energy and gatherings, we celebrate the essence of who we are, who nature is, and how we and she magically weave our way back to flourishing in love. These gatherings, celebrating nature at the new and full moons and returning us to our tribal roots of gathering around the fire, are conducive to catapulting our ascension. Catapulting this era, as we jointly welcome this state of receivership, we open our electrical in nature brains and nervous systems to connect with, fully know, and be one with the constant flow of energy that surrounds us at all times. This guidance or guidance transforms each of us from being ego-based, which is a normal human state, to being conduits of spirit, as the knowingness flows through us, invigorating and restoring our health and vitality, and subsequently, all of our environment. As ascended masters, we merge with all there is. We become one with our environment. The next page has a magnificent photograph of an owl looking directly at us, and a wonderful quote underneath. We are the trees, we are the rocks, we are the water, we are the air we breathe, we are the animals, we are the moon, sun, stars, and indeed the earth. No separation. There is no time. Our consciousness is unlimited and forever. There is no death. We are consciousness, essence herself. We are electrical, vibrational, connected, owners of essence, energy, E=mc², holy oneness. Indeed, these moon gatherings are honoring the cycles of nature and reuniting us in our Earth's harmony and giving us a physical way to begin our homecoming. While in each other's bands of energy, we are greatly recognizing and enhancing our ability to fully embrace our original sublime purpose, our all-powerful togetherness and love as co-creators. May we now surrender to the glory of the knowingness that is within us all and that joins us all in the field. In 2005, Summerhill winemaker Dr. Alan Marks and I landed in Beijing on business. We were invited to export our organic ice wine to the People's Republic of China for their annual military Lunar New Year celebrations. Upon arrival, we were taken to a highly secured military base and then to a nightclub restaurant where we enjoyed a wonderful festive banquet and had the opportunity to share our ice wine with our generous hosts. It was almost 2 a.m., when we finally returned to the hotel, and I discovered my room was on the 22nd floor. Terrified of heights, my only reprieve was the thought that perhaps being at such a high level would allow me to clearly see the night sky. Perched in front of that 22nd story window, I was unable to see even across the street, much less see the stars. In the depths of winter, the air was condensed with thick dark pollution from the burning of coal used as fuel for heat. Here we have an asterisk about the frightening reports indicating that pollution in Beijing has reached record levels. As stated in a study by Greenpeace, along with Peking University's School of Public Health, found that last year thousands of premature deaths in Shanghai, Guangzhou, Xi'an, and Beijing could be linked to PM2.5 air pollution. Concern for the environment and our Earth began to fill every atom of every cell in my being. My heart ached, and I once again heard and felt the echoing cries of humanity and of our beloved animals and plants. Removing myself from the depressing view and proceeding into the bathroom, I filled the tub with hot water and lit a candle. As I turned off the lights and climbed into the tub, I embraced the breath and experienced instant meditation, welcoming grand oneness. A magnificent pulsing purple light engulfed me and connected me to multiple dimensions. My soul reached out to the unlimited universe. I became one with all there is. In that fraction of a second of absolute clarity, I consciously decided to become an instrument to cleanse the pollution. Turning into my well-practiced ritual of consciously whisking away clouds, I began blowing away the dense pollution with the intensity of my whole entire being. It was in this moment that I experienced oneness with the soul of the world, taking us all back to the time when our air was pure, species knew no threats of extinction, clean water flowed freely, and we lived in harmony with our earth. Raising my arms and offering forth the sacred breath, I channeled my intentions from the Lord God of my being and envisioned the dark, polluted air outside dissipating. The intent resounded in me so powerfully that it rendered me to feverishly stand up, hold out my hands, and spin round and round and round. As I stood whirling in a state of profound unity with all there is, I heard the wind begin to fiercely howl. The gale was so powerful that the building began to sway. Ironically, I made no immediate connection between the windstorm and the intention that I had just set. All I could do was stand in awe of the deafening torrent outside. Upon entering the hotel lobby in the morning, I watched the doormen struggle to hold the doors open as guests bent down and pushed their way through the wind. Our host arrived to take Alan and me for a walk along the famous Great Wall. The gusts of wind were so fierce that we had to crouch down below the wall and crawl along a small portion of the historical pier-based feat of architecture. The evening brought calming winds as throngs of people lined the sidewalks in every direction. For the first time, perhaps in many years, they were able to stand out in the streets, look up at the sky, and see the stars. The thick veil of pollution had dissipated. It was a mighty cleansing. I was filled with a great resurgence of confidence, gratitude, and awe. I reflected that indeed we are all conduits and servants. Our full presence in the now is all we ever need to have. It is by being in such presence that we reclaim our power. It is within each and every one of us to behold such extraordinarily powerful experiences. The grand purpose of the All-One Era is to welcome the prophetic message that we are divine and can and do have constant impact on all that is. This is the ultimate blessing of this time in our times. We surrender and allow the constant flow of spirit, absolute love, abundance, and peace. When we open to the loving cosmic flow, we influence and create the healing of ourselves and our earth. We first need to acknowledge ourselves and realize our worthiness as channels for receiving. This is an ascension welcoming our knowingness. We clearly see that individually and much more strongly as collective groups, we instigate profound change with our powerful intentions. We are ascending to operate from our hearts rather than our minds, to seek truths from our guts rather than our brains, to lead from our loving selves rather than our ego selves, as we enter into our awakenings and becoming realized beings, one who is one with all, and who acknowledges deeply the energies that surround us at all times. We are grand ambassadors in the now of eternal love. As we receive and take back our loving power, we know we are, each of us, unlimited, immortal, holy beings. There is an organic formula for the transition to achieve planetary harmony. The first and foremost truth is to be one with our inner knowingness and trust this holy guidance. This aligns us with our most powerful and splendid state of pure love. The second is to strive to maintain our bodies as pure vessels through making highest conscious choices that ensure we restore our ultimate physical and planet health and vitality. The third is to proactively share our self-healing process and our grandness. An excellent avenue is to regularly attend the powerful gatherings which are centered around a sacred fire. The fire acknowledges the presence of the grandmothers and the grandfathers, all our relations, allowing them to come to us through the fire. We direct our meditation and intentions to the fire. Whenever possible, the gathering should take place in settings that are conducive to group meditation, ideally with a sacred geometry aspect or just plain outdoors. Each of the All One Era gatherings branches will be connected to a transparent company leading a revolving central council of individuals connected worldwide. The AOE Council has formed an All One Era certification to ensure and sanction AOE certification of approval that goods and services have heart and supreme consciousness and are in harmony with this planet. We have a grand mission. It is up to each of us to first go within and know ourselves, then to create a vision that is in full alignment with the needs of our planet, and to align ourselves with those who can help us bring it fully alive. Within our precious bodies, we carry our consciousness, our universal knowingness. Once we get it, we naturally tune back into that original heritage and intention of our pure organic nature and the urgency to expand it worldwide. I have an asterisk here and to refer to Nassim Haramein as he shares his scientific discoveries and his brilliant connected perspective on our true history. Go to alloneera.com/truehistory. Nassim Haramein has spent over 30 years researching and discovering connections in physics, mathematics, geometry, cosmology, quantum mechanics, biology, chemistry, as well as anthropology and ancient civilizations. These studies led Haramein to groundbreaking theories, published papers, and patented inventions in unified physics, which are now gaining worldwide recognition and acceptance. I am proud to say that Nassim and I are good friends. And I thank you for the great work. It is now up to us to reincorporate the commercial corporations, giving them heart. Only going within restores harmony and abundance, not politics, economic restraints, threats of war, or giving our power to tyrants or corporations. We all come from tribal beginnings, and this lofty awakening is the making of a major grassroots ascension into global peace and harmony. All we need is to proactively be in a state of receiving and have patience, fortitude, conviction, courage, and confidence. Once we have recognized and acknowledged our eternal receiving selves, we become beacons of light to ourselves and instantly to others. Our awareness and our coming together as a conscious collective is now unfolding, and we are rapidly opening to receive the constant loving guidance. We, who are laying the foundation, are the prophets and emissaries of peace and restoration that we have been waiting for. This is the age of Aquarius, the promised messianic age, the Christ consciousness age, and the all-one era of merging with loving universal consciousness that we are, the very cosmic consciousness energy we create from moment to moment, eternally. We are who we've been waiting for. The time is now for love. The time is now for us to come home into our own eternal, ever-unfolding selves, or self. The next pages are photographs that you can tap into with the Maxigram app. One is from Chida Haramein, which is Nassim's sister, who's also a good friend of mine. She's an artist, and she introduced me to cosmologist Jonathan Quinton's work, which simplifies what sacred geometry means. You can view the above image using the Maxigram app to activate it. Next picture is the cover of the book Initiation by Elizabeth H. And a quote from Elizabeth H. Every dream is reality as long as you believe it to be real. The one and only reality The only objective reality there is the self, colon, God. With this global ascension, we become naturally united in being intolerant to atrocities like child abuse, wife beatings and rape, pornography, child slavery, tyrant leaders, the present terrorist extremists, nuclear war threats, government corruption, corporate greed, pollution, and any other and all fear-based activities. The holistic management of our magnificent planet, the return to our tribal heritage, and our original splendid intentions are naturally and automatically guiding us to know that such activities are not in harmony with the nature of our loving God selves. While we acknowledge that our drive, relentless ambition, and spirit of competition have brought us to great heights in the creation of technologies, economies, and businesses, they have come at the cost of crippling our planet and crippling the very spirit of humanity. We surely can nurture our Earth and ourselves without this short-sightedness and aggressiveness. We are ready now to respond to nature's calling for us to open ourselves and to provide her with a cleansing. Like us, she is naturally resilient and healing and is ready to bounce back. The silver cords that tie us to her and all there is have shrunk. We have become more and more oblivious to our polluting, destroying, and ravaging her. Our awakening opens and allows us to embrace and express a gigantic wave of gratitude. She feels and desperately needs this gratitude now, as she so actively displays her cleansing. All she needs are our reinforcing silver cords, our renewed soul commitment to being deeply rooted with her, as one with her. Here you can look at alloneera.com/gratitude. The shift into the All One Era is a time of planet-wide ascension. It is a movement that anyone of any age can understand and be one with. We are so fortunate to be in bodies at this most thrilling of all time in our times. A shift, a total change, a return home to who we really are. This is our time of opening pure awareness and appreciation and of our merger with eternity. This is our most glorious time since the creation began, a true homecoming. We are reversing the direction of our increasing material pursuits and of living so absorbed in the human drama. Now is the promised renewal of our oneness with all there is and the bringing forth of our brilliant light, which instantly dispels all darkness that we have allowed to be brought upon ourselves. The prophesied homecoming. The end of the Mayan calendar, December 21st, 2012, the official time of the All One Era Awakening, the Hopi Prophecy Stone on the Hopi Reservation in Arizona. It's a beautiful picture of the stone with the lines of the cryptograph. Oh my gosh. At a Summerhill Pyramid winter solstice gathering in December 2016, a beautiful lady named Miriam spoke of the Tzolk'in calendar, T-Z-O-L-K-I-N, T-Z-O-L-K-I-N calendar. Watch her dramatic presentation at alloneera.com/galacticactivation. Very worthwhile to watch that. And the last page of chapter one is a picture of Albert Einstein, my cousin, and his wonderful quote, "Imagination is more important than knowledge, for knowledge is limited to all we now know and understand. While imagination embraces the entire world and all there ever will be to know and understand."